So last week, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL, filed a lawsuit against Governor Tony Evers, claiming the governor does not have the authority to extend a state of emergency. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn. In for Kate Archer-Kent, she returns tomorrow. And WILL also filed an amicus brief in support of the lawsuit that ended the governor's Safer at Home order back in May. Do you think it's time to end Wisconsin's mask mandate? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio, or email ideas@wpr.org for your questions for our next guest. Rick Essenberg is the president and general counsel at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Rick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning.
And so what's your case as you file this in the courts? What are you saying about the governor's mask mandate? Why should it be removed?
Well, we're not saying really anything about the mask mandate itself. Our clients who live in Polk County claim to have been injured by the imposition of the mandate in that county where they don't believe it's necessary. But that's not the issue that the court will be asked to decide. The court will be asked to decide what the extent of the governor's power is to declare a public emergency. So if you look at our laws say that the governor can declare an emergency. It can be a public health emergency or it can be a disaster emergency. But his or her ability to do that is time limited. An emergency can only last for 60 days, and the governor does not have the power under state statute to extend it. It can only be extended by a joint resolution of the legislature, and even the legislature can only extend it for another 60 days.
Rick, isn't this the same case that was made against the governor's Safer at Home order?
No. Governor's Safer at Home order, what happened there was the governor declared a public health emergency in early March of this year. In early May, it was set to appear. Now, back then, he understood that he did not have the power to extend it. And so what he attempted to do is extend his Safer at Home order, not by using his emergency powers, but by using another provision in the law called Chapter 252, which gives the Department of Health Services certain powers to control the spread of infectious disease. And what the court ruled in May was that if the Department of Health Services wanted to extend the stay-at-home order, it had to proceed by what is called rulemaking, which you make a rule, you have to refer to the statutory authority that you have to make the rule, you have to have public notice and comment, and the legislature has the ability to suspend that rule. The governor didn't want to do that, and so the Safer at Home went away. He could have. He started the process of making rulemaking, but he abandoned it. Similarly, with this mask mandate, if he wanted to start the rulemaking process to impose a statewide mask mandate, he could do that. Our lawsuit doesn't have anything to do with that. But the problem for the governor is that if he did that, he would have to provide public notice and comment. The legislature would have the ability to block the mandate, and he might not get the statewide mandate that he wants. And so because he doesn't want to go through the legally permissible process, he has decided that he is going to declare a second public health emergency arising from the COVID pandemic. And our lawsuit says that's the thing that you can't do because your ability to declare a public health emergency is limited to 60 days by statute. And our statute simply doesn't contemplate giving the governor the power to declare one emergency after another arising from the same underlying set of facts and use that to rule by decree.
Rick Essenberg, our guest. He's a president and general counsel at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They've got a case that is, in essence, the end result could be the end of the statewide mask mandate. And Rick, you make a case that this is the law in Wisconsin. But we also have a legislature that has not been active in the lawmaking process, at least going back for, 4 months now, if not more. They have gaveled in. They do have the opportunity to take up issues today. But do you see how this legal wrangling could fly in the face of what has become a largely public consensus about public health?
Well, again, you can criticize the legislature if you want for not acting. And in some ways, I have been critical of the legislature for not acting. But here's the problem. The fact that the officials that we elect won't do what we want them to do does not mean that we can ignore our state constitution and we can ignore our law. We still have to follow the rules. And if you look at what the legal structure that has been laid out, the governor is given power to act, extraordinary power to act, in the course of an emergency. During that emergency, the governor can enter any order to protect person or property. I mean, given the fact that he's declared an emergency now.
But you're saying this is not an emergency anymore, at least by the books.
Well, right, because what the law does is it says, look, you can declare an emergency and you can rule by decree in order to respond to that emergency, but we're only going to give you 60 days to do it. And the reason that we do that is it's that, you know, we understand that there may be situations in which a governor has to act immediately and there's no time to get the legislature together. And so under those circumstances, we're going to suspend the rules. We're going to allow something that we typically don't allow, and that is the governor to issue orders, rule by decree, make law, but only for that 60-day period. And then, after that point, we have to return to regular constitutional order.
And that's the way it is by the book. And, Rick, I do have a question coming in here. I want to invite others to participate in the conversation with you, President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And the phone number here is, and the question is clear. And Rick makes the case that this is the way the law is in Wisconsin. I am not licensed to practice law in this or any other state of mine. But how does that contrast with the reality on the ground now as you see it in Wisconsin? And take your calls and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. John from Menominee, he emailed to ask why Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is making political points during an unprecedented pandemic. His words, he's 69 years old, and he says he's never seen anything like this. He says people are dying. But for your perspective, Rick, this is about executive overreach. This is about what government will be. But how does that fit within the context of a public health crisis that we're seeing play out nationwide?
Well, because, I mean, we can argue about, you know, what difference, if any, a mask mandate would actually have. But our courts have made clear that there's no pandemic exception to our Constitution and the rule of law. And in fact, one can make the case that when we are frightened of something, right, when we think that something is a threat, that's when our constitutional guardrails and the rule of law become the most important, because every
is that like the war on terror? Is that like in the aftermath of September 11th? Do you draw a parallel there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we were very afraid of terror, and I think in some circumstances we lost sight of what the rule of law requires. And, you know, if you look historically, that's always a danger.
And fear is certainly a common thread that goes from then till now. And our guest, Rick Essenberg, is President and General Counsel at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Their lawsuit may overturn Wisconsin's mask mandate. What will the impact of that be? And what do you think about the case? 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Our conversation with Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty continues. I'm Lee Rayburn on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. According to the AARP, there are 34 states and the District of Columbia that currently have some form of mandated face coverings in public. That number may soon be reduced by one if the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty gets its way in our courts. And our guest is the president and general counsel of WIL, and he says this is just in accordance with Wisconsin law. What does that say about Wisconsin law? 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show with Rick Essenberg, our guest from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And Rick, you had mentioned the fact that this was a case that began because your client, the plaintiff in this case, was injured in Polk County. What's the injury that you were seeking recourse from here?
So in any lawsuit, right, the plaintiff has to be able to allege that they have been injured by the thing that they complain of.
What's the injury?
In our instance, our clients say that they are injured because they are subject to a mask mandate. They live in Polk County. There's very little incident of COVID infection in Polk County. And to require them to wear masks under certain circumstances is something that they regard as unnecessary and an infringement on their liberty. That's enough of an injury to get them into court. But again, I have to say that the issue before the court has to do with the governor's emergency power. It doesn't have to do with the merits of a mask mandate. And to be honest with you, it doesn't even have to do with whether there are other ways that the governor could impose a mask mandate. There are other things he could do. He could go to the legislature and he could ask them to impose a mask mandate or to authorize one.
Hasn't he done that, though?
Or he could invoke, is another thing he could do. Well, if he's done it and the legislature has said no, that's not a problem with Wisconsin law. That is the law working the way that it has. Sometimes the law doesn't give you what you want. That doesn't mean that the law is wrong as a result of it. But there's another thing he could do. He could invoke the rulemaking process. He could cite to statutory authority that gives him the power to respond to an infectious disease, and he could make a rule. But the problem is, and I think the reason that he hasn't done it, is that other people would have to be involved. He would have to have a public notice and comment period. The JCRIR, which is a joint committee on rules and regulations, legislative ability to suspend that. Well, I don't know whether they would. They haven't suspended his emergency. But the problem is that he, for the governor, I think, is that he wouldn't be able to act unilaterally. And for whatever reason, this governor wants to act unilaterally. He wants to act without input from others. And he simply doesn't have the authority to do that under state law. And if state law did give him that authority, it would be unconstitutional because it would essentially permit the governor to rule by decree anytime he declares an emergency. And if you look at our statutes, Lee, an emergency could be anything. It could be crime in the streets. It could be illegal immigration. The ability of a governor to declare an emergency is extremely broad. And so we should be very, very careful about how we interpret it, because the one thing that we know is we have a Democratic governor today. We will have a Republican governor at some point in the future. There is going to be a governor you don't like. And so you should be concerned about what the rules provide for.
Rick Essenberg, our guest, taking questions from you at 1-800-642-1234. Judy in Verona, you're on the Ideas Network with Rick Essenberg from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Good morning.
Good morning. The Wisconsin conservative legislators have refused to act on the pandemic. They won't meet. They gavel in, they gavel out. Asking them to do anything and get out of their home situation and away from their little computers gets you nowhere. The governor is asking just for people to wear masks. It's not a hard thing. I don't understand why people won't do it. People are dying. Masks saves lives. And I think you don't have to take on this lawsuit. You know, it's going to cut into your budget maybe a little, but you seem to be making a lot of money off all these lawsuits at your institute. And frankly, I don't know how you look at yourself in the mirror each morning. That's all.
Judy? You didn't have to take the lawsuit, I guess, is the takeaway there, Rick. Why did you choose to take the...
I'm not, I'm not going to respond to the caller's cheap pejoratives, but she's wrong, incidentally, about the Republican legislature. There was a bipartisan bill that was passed in April that enacted a number of responses to the COVID legislation. Her concern is that the legislature won't do certain things that she wants it to do. That's not a bug of our Constitution.
Well, I apologize for our caller, Rick. And so let me rephrase here. The concern here is that we have a partisan political system that may be endangering lives in Wisconsin. And that partisan political system has, for some, failed them. We're talking about a public health crisis right now. And we're also talking about executive overreach at a time when certainly discussions about the government powers are being debated right now and what executives can do at any level of government. It's a debate worth having. But in the context of your work, Rick, with the Wisconsin Institute and Law and Liberty, the one thing that keeps coming up is your role in the partisanship of Wisconsin. John Kraft, as I understand, is one of the plaintiffs in this lawsuit. John Kraft is the Republican Party chairman for St. Croix County. So how do you dispel the concerns that this is part of the partisan politics that is failing our public health right now in Wisconsin?
Let me, you know, first of all, there are going to be disagreements about how to respond to a public health crisis, right? So there's a roiling public debate over whether lockdowns work. And believe it or not, there's even a public debate about the efficacy of mask mandates. I mean, there are people who have tried to statistically discern the impact of the mask mandate since this, since it was imposed about a month ago, and it doesn't look like, you know, actually there has been any impact because the positivity rate has remained the same. But let's put that all aside. Our system presupposes that, you know, power is divided. The legislature has a certain role. The governor has a certain role. Sometimes they'll disagree. To dismiss that as a partisan conflict is simply to assume that your side is correct and the other side is wrong. And that's not the way that our system works. What we're insisting on is that the rules be followed. There are ways the governor could pursue a mask mandate if he wanted to. He could even do it by himself through rulemaking. But what he can't do is he can't declare emergencies in series and, as a result of that, rule by decree. And it's not a partisan point because this rule would apply to any governor, Republican or Democrat. And what we're trying to do is say, look, we got to stick to the rules no matter what policy preference we want and no matter what party we belong to.
Let's go to Michelle in Wanakee. Michelle, good morning. You are on the Ideas Network with Rick Eisenberg from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty.
Hi, I'm a ventilator nurse, and I want to know what responsibility you feel towards the general public with fighting the mask mandate and basically putting the general public's health at risk. This is a deadly disease, and there's no known cure. And some people will only be slightly affected, and some will be, you know, some will lose their lives.
Michelle, as a medical practitioner, I want to stop you and ask you about whether or not you think masks are medically important, if you think they are important as part of dealing with a pandemic, and if you think the safer at home order or the quarantine was effective in controlling the pandemic.
I'll ask you a question. Would you want your surgeon to not wear a mask? It's a respiratory transmitted disease. So masks, I think, are essential. Quarantine, I think, is very important. I understand I'm an essential worker, so I understand that not everybody can stay home. But this is a deadly condition, and we have no idea what the long-term consequences of this is going to be. Chickenpox, not so bad. I don't know of anyone who's had shingles who said that it's a walk in the park. And we've already seen through cardiac MRIs heart damage in a majority of people. I'm not talking about just people who are hospitalized. I'm talking the majority of these people in this study were not hospitalized. They had cardiac MRIs. 78 of them had cardiac changes.
Michelle, I appreciate your call and your work. On the flip side, I do have an email here from Bill from Superior who called to commend the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty for doing the lawsuit. He says that people need to understand that the governor doesn't have unlimited power. But Rick, could the governor have, the law says the governor gets a 60 days for emergency. Does the law say he can't issue multiple subsequent 60-day declarations?
Well, I mean, I think it does because the problem here is that clearly our legislature, not the current legislature, but the legislature that enacted this many, many years ago, intended that the governor's emergency powers to be time limited, limited to 60 days. Now, if you allow the governor to declare emergencies in series one after another, then you render that time limitation on the power of the governor to act by decree meaningless. And that can't be the way that the law is interpreted. And if you do interpret the law that way, then I think you have a serious constitutional problem, because our Constitution says that the legislature makes the law and the governor administers the law. It does not give the governor the power to rule by decree. We do not elect a dictator every 4 years who, you know, gets to tell us what to do. That's not the way our system works. And look, I'm not here to debate the efficacy of a mask mandate and whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. Quite frankly, 95% of people where I live were wearing masks in public places before this mandate was ever put.
Rick, I apologize. We're out of time, but I always appreciate your time. And thank you for making the case this morning with us.
Nah, thank you. Take care.
Rick Esenberg, President and General Counsel at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Up next, news. Then we'll talk with protester Frank Nitti, who recently returned from Washington, D.C. after his march on Washington, along with so many others. I'm Lee Rayburn. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.